What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we have a huge series, which will determine whether or not we go to the playoffs. It's three games at the Mets. It starts tonight. It's plain and simple. Win or go home. Mm-hmm. And when I say win, Mike, we at least have to win two of three, but I would prefer a sweep. Now, we finish the season with the Royals, and if you end up, obviously, with the tiebreaker, the Braves would own that. That's why this series is so important. By the way, it's 5-5 right now, right? If you look at the season series. So we've won five, they won five. That's why it comes down to these three games.
Because the postseason now is so tight, Major League Baseball's added all these games. You don't have time now for that. One of the great moments in baseball, Bucky frickin' Dent, you know? The Giants win the pennant. Those were all parts of those tiebreakers. We don't get that anymore because they've got so many more rounds now in this playoff. But the good news is, Diamondbacks have lost two in a row. They're playing 500 ball. So you might not catch the Mets, but you just said it. You still could catch the Mets and leapfrog the Diamondbacks, too. There's a chance now. 1.5 behind the Diamondbacks. Definitely got to beat these Mets, period, Carl. And the problem then becomes there's no time off with the Royals because the Royals are locked in a battle right now for the number one and two seed in the wild card in the AL.
So the Phillies won the division. We know that. Yay, whoop-dee-doo. We are injury depleted and all the things that have happened with this. Take your division and go ahead and whatever you do with it. Okay. Here's where I'm at though, Mike. I just like Andy and Randy, and I just asked him, what's your scale? I want to believe that we are going to do this. It feels like nothing that we've needed to go right this season has gone right. And it started with the Strider injury and then Acuna, and we could talk about all the things that have happened. Harris and Riley and all the stuff. But we still find ourselves in a position to be in the dance. And I want to believe, like Andy and Randy, and I know you believe it, that we're going to find a way to get this done and the Mets are somehow going to choke this away. But Mike Bell, we've been so inconsistent all year. I'm having a hard time believing that over the next three games, we are not going to just beat them 2 out of 3. We're going to find a way to sweep these Mets.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzie, you know, he doesn't look 100% down there at times, you know, against Miami, but you got him back. You just gotten so many injuries to overcome that you've got guys that are just not, you know, they're not stars in this league. You're asking stars to do star stuff. Now, look, Jock Peterson was a brand. Soler at one point was and certainly had one of the great of all time postseasons here in Atlanta. And Rosario was solid. Those guys that we've added other than Soler aren't those guys. So we're hoping you basically requires overachieving clutch and you need the Mets to kind of get a little tight, if we're honest. I wish Chris Sale, and I mean, this is where you could argue every game was important, so there was just only so much that Snicker could have done. But some would have said to manipulate the rotation, so Chris Sale got at least two starts in these final five.
Now, it's interesting.
If you want to argue, I know a lot of guys are up Snickers took us about this season. I just agree with Carl on all the injuries. But if you want to make an argument, yes, should you have maybe tried to find a way to get Sale two important starts when the whole season's on the line?
And it is on the line. 404-726-0929. What is your confidence level? I want to know. Hit us up on the text line. Find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Schwellenbach. Schwelly gets to start tonight. Chris Sale. And then Max Fried. All three are healthy. They all will give us a chance to hopefully be in these games. My fear is, will we score enough? Because that's been our issue.
Ozzie comes back from the DL and he goes 2 for 15. Now, he does have the home run on Sunday in the 5-4 win. But still, you know, 2 for 15. So we really said, you know, when Ozzie comes back, can he hit the ground running? That's not exactly hitting the ground running. But here we go. He's seen the Mets before. Hopefully he can get it together.
All right. As far as, you know, where they are, and I'm talking about the Mets. Beat the Mets. Beat the Mets. They just took 3 of 4 from Philly.
No joke.
So they're feeling really good. They did it without Francisco Lindor. You could easily say, and I don't think anybody that follows baseball would argue, that the Mets have been a better team since the middle of June than we have been. And the record says as much. Guys, they've won 63 of 36. They're 63 and 36 since the middle of June. We're 53 and 48. They've been a better team. So all of this is what we're up against, right? And look, we're at the part in the season, Mike, where we're not going to sit here and make excuses for the injuries that we've known what we've had to deal with. Our team is on the field. We just have to find a way to get it done. And if we get in the dance, anything can happen. But this is the season. This is the week we determine whether or not we get back to the playoffs.
Schwellenbach struck out a lot of guys. You know, he certainly is a guy you feel great about next year breaking camp. And he is, you know, he's in a solid piece in your rotation. He's established himself in that. We already talked about the presumptive National League Cy Young Award winner, Chris Sale. and then Max Fried. The problem now is we got this Hurricane Helene bearing down on the Gulf Coast and Georgia, if you look at all the models. So we may have rainouts on Thursday and Friday. And I don't know how MLB approaches this because, as we said, everything's so tight to get into the postseason. And it comes down to the Mets and the Braves. I mean, you can't not play these games. So at some point, we're going to have a doubleheader. I mean, should we have been proactive and maybe done a doubleheader tonight? You know, easier said than done. But either way, the weather's going to be a factor this week.
1.5 games out after last night's loss by the D-backs. So everything is in front of us. I don't know if I could have asked for a better scenario, I don't know, 2 months ago. With the way things were going with our club and our inconsistency in scoring runs, that I would tell you, hey, by the way, Mets going to come to town. It'll be a 3-game set, and we'll need to win the series to put ourselves in position to be in the playoffs. And maybe, Mike, we overtake these guys. I don't know. But that's the scenario that's playing out right now. What is your confidence level? 404-726-0929. And I'm not talking about for the season or in SNIT. The fact that we're just going to win this series, that we can get it done, Mike, and leave after the series is over and be in front of these guys, and basically you got 6 games to play. So that leaves you with 3, and Mike brought it up, depending on how this rain stuff plays out. But there's nothing that we can do about that. They just got to go out and play.
And in case you're wondering, you know, we said the Royals, who are playing for everything. You've got the Mets playing the Brewers. Now, the Brewers don't have to play everybody.
That's right.
The Brewers have locked in. Now, I've got to go back and look right now and see if where they stand as far as right now, the number one seed. Because as it stands, well, I'm apologize. Take me a second. Punch it up. Right now, it is the Dodgers. Yeah, Brewers are 4 games. So the Brewers don't have to do anything. They're locked into that 3 seed. They're going to be taking on the number 6 team.
All right. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, Sheree Burris is going to join us. NFL Network, Good Morning Football host. She was actually in the ATL. We did some stuff. She did some stuff with us, should I say, here on 92.9 The Game back in the day. And she has been moving up and moving on, and she's doing a terrific job for NFL Network. But we'll grab her and talk to her here in about 10 minutes about all things NFL-related, including our Falcons. Now, I said that the Saints are dealing with one of their own injuries, and I just want to put this out there. We'll get into the Falcons coming up here on the show. Full show for you tonight all the way up until 7. But they are going to be without their Pro Bowl center. His name is Eric McCoy. He's got a groin injury. Mm-hmm. He's expected to miss about 6 to 8 weeks. Again, this is what happened to us in game, right? With Drew Dolman, they're losing their center before this week. Now, the good news, I guess, for both teams is these backup centers, Mike, if they have to play, they're going to get a full week of reps. Mm-hmm. That's going to help both teams. But I don't care who you are, the way the Saints have been playing offensively and running the football again, this is a big loss for them. So they're dealing with their own injuries, and you heard Raheem Moore say yesterday, nobody cares about us being injured. We got to step up, and hopefully our guys will.
You know, we've talked about how good the defense has been. They've been holding teams to field goals. Certainly, we did a good job against the Eagles. Certainly, you know, did enough to win against Mahomes, but still, only the Bucs have got less sacks than we've only got 3 sacks on the season. The Bucs got 2. So we talked so much about Matthew Judon and that one man we thought was going to be a force multiplier and help everybody else on this line. But Lorenzo Carter and Ebba Cady, the other guys, it's just not happened so far in these first 3. We have got to get heat. You know, we said it all day yesterday. The Eagles won the game because they really physically beat up Derek Carr and forced some turnovers. He almost did enough to win the game. You got to get heat on the Saints. And now with the injury, even more reason.
No doubt about it. All right, as we mentioned, because I just got word that apparently it took a particular show, a lot of takes. Now, I was not aware of this, but we cut our promos today for
the Hawks to see him at State Farm this year.
Yeah, and so we went and did our little 2-bit, you know, thing. You guys will see it. I don't want to blow it again. Everybody's doing something different, and it's fun. It gets you engaged, and hopefully you tune in and check us out. And the purpose of this, obviously, is to not only promote the radio station, but, Mike, maybe to introduce folks who've never heard us or seen us, and you go to a Hawks game, and you go, oh, who are these guys? But as I said, it took us 2 takes. One, it could have been 1. We could have did it in 1 take. And the guy literally goes, I just want to see what you're going to do. Right. And then we did it, and he goes, oh, I love it. Can you do it again? And then we did, and he goes, okay, thank you. And Mike and I looked at each other and go, that's it? We've got more.
Yeah. But now we have like 2.5 hours to kill before the show. Dangerous with so many great food options and drink options here at Colony Square. But no.
I got the itis, though.
All right.
I'm telling you right now. I'm
you
serious.
Want a pillow?
Well, if I had one... Right. I would be using it. Mike, I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you do this. You ate that cheeseburger, you had the cocktail, and I was like, this is great. Until about an hour later, now I got the itis.
I'm like an X-Man. I'm Irish. There's a third kidney that kicks in. It's like an alternate. You know what I mean? It's almost like, yeah, like that little engine on the plane. When the engine stopped, there's one in the back that keeps going. We're all good. We're rolling. And steak. My God, what are you? I mean, seriously, what is this, Scorsese? What are you, Robert De Niro? How many takes does a man need for a Hawks promo?
Was it his show? I didn't know. Was it him?
I didn't like that. Let's do it again.
I didn't know. I just heard. I just heard it was
I don't
show.
Think Sandra's energy was. Let's do it again from the top. Wait, did you get the wrong side? Don't shoot my left side. That's got the big eyeball. Right side.
Mike, we even had props we had to deal with, and we knocked this thing out.
We get one more time from. This is the Hawks, right? Yes, Steak, it's the Hawks.
Coming up, Sherree Burris is going to join us. We're going to talk football. She is with NFL Network. Good morning, football host and reporter. We'll break down the Falcons heading into the Saints week and much more next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm trying to shake off this itis. I don't know if I can go to lunch with you again, man. Boy.
I can go get you a Red Bull.
I might need one.
5-hour energy?
I might need one. Let's talk some football. And I love her work. She was here in the ATL, and she moved up and onward. She's traveling the country currently with NFL Network and Good Morning Football host and reporter Sherree Burris is joining us. And by the way, Good Morning Football airs Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. On NFL Network. And, of course, Good Morning Football Overtime, which streams Monday through Friday. You can check her out on all of that. Girl, what's going on? How are you, Sherree?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. Good to talk to you again.
You too. Congratulations on all the success. You're crushing it, as I just tweeted out. Let's talk about our Falcons. I want to start there because it was a big game Sunday night. They come up short against the Chiefs, but, you know, nationally we keep hearing everybody saying, hey, they're impressed with what they saw defensively. They were in the game. They made a game of it, although they weren't able to make a play at the end. What did you see? How do you feel, and what are you hearing about our team?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you look at, you know, Kirk Cousins coming in, there were so many questions of coming off that Achilles injury of which Kirk is this? Who are you? So the fact that he's come in, been able to get that win at Philly on the road, which is not an easy place to play. And Kansas City, you know, I don't want to say that's sort of the benchmark game for everybody, but, you know, that's definitely, you're chasing greatness when you play a team like Kansas City. So the fact that they were so close, I mean, Kirk put 230 yards. It's, you can't fault them, but it definitely, I think, shows that there's room for growth. But, again, we're also only in week three, so I would not be hitting the panic button if I was in Atlanta right now.
And that's it, Sherree. I feel that, like, we're a work in progress. I don't think Kirk's they won't admit it. I still don't think Kirk's 100%, although you said it. He was able to make that thing happen on that two-minute drill in Philly. We also have a first-year offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, and we're kind of seeing what he's all about. And I think he's still trying to figure out all the tools in the toolbox.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, you know, we look big picture, and, you know, sometimes we're sort of trapped in our own, like, oh, my gosh, this game is the deciding factor of the season. And I just don't think we're there yet, and it takes time. You know, players around the league will tell you, you can't win the Super Bowl in week three, right? You don't want to be playing your best ball necessarily in September. Sometimes it takes time, and I think you're totally right. Like, watching Kirk, you know, seeing him from his time Minnesota, you know, just his path to where he's at now. I had him in Washington for a couple of years. He's not looking, I think, as mobile as we're used to. So I definitely think there is still some, you know, recovery or just getting more comfortable coming off that. And we talk about that with Aaron Rodgers, I feel like, a lot of like, oh, well, he's still getting over the mental part. We're not really giving Kirk that same sort of grace, maybe is the way to phrase it. So I think there is a little bit to that, too.
Sherree Burris joining us, host of Good Morning Football, which airs again Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. on NFL Network. I want to take you back to D.C. because you did spend a lot of time there. Listen, today everybody's waking up talking about what the Commanders did, and Dan Quinn and company, but more importantly, Jaden Daniels. Woo! Right now, he looks better, all right, than Caleb Williams, if you want to compare, and they were 1-2, and there will be those comparisons. But how impressed are you with what you're seeing with the Commanders and this new coaching staff?
Totally, 100%. It's funny, I sort of tweeted about it today, of like, hey, good morning, Commanders fans. you know, like, welcome to Victory Tuesday. And the comments have definitely been more in the sense of they've had hope before. You think about the quarterbacks they've brought in since Kirk Cousins, actually, And it's like, maybe this is the guy. And it just never really panned out. And I feel like a lot of the Twitter reaction and social media response today has been, no, this actually feels different. You know, they've had that hope before. And as you guys mentioned, I was there with you in Atlanta for a bit, and that's when Dan Quinn was the head coach. So getting to circle back with him for a little bit was really awesome. I think it's a testament to who he is as a coach that, you know, at practice now, you know, they call him DQ.
Right.
You know, he keeps it really informal with that backwards hat that is so signature him. So it's his guys, I think, are really able to connect. And he does a really good job of instilling that in his team also. And I think we're seeing that give and take of Jaden being really confident in what he's doing, even though it's only been three games. And they're it's like they feed off each other. DQ gives them that confidence, and the confidence is feeding off of what DQ is giving them.
Carl, we still don't know what that tattoo is that Dan has. Remember, he always, once in a while, he'd have a short sleeve shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever finds that, there's some ink. It's kind of like going up the forearm, up to the bottom of the bicep, and nobody knows what it is. So that's,
reporting we need. Yeah. What's your tattoo?
So ask Dan. And by the way, I also thought, as Sheree Burris joins us, guys from NFL Network, getting Cliff Kingsbury over there, because I've seen Jaden Daniels twice in person with LSU. I thought if you can avoid the big hit, and man, on that last touchdown, he got squished. So if they can just keep him from getting the big hit, he's got a great mentor with Cliff Kingsbury.
Absolutely. You think about who he's worked with. I mean, most recently, Kyler Murray, right? The guy that can really scramble, can make those kind of off-schedule throws. And that's definitely within the repertoire of Jaden Daniels and what has made him so successful at the college level. And as we're starting to see now in his young NFL career, that he can scramble. You know, he can tote the rock himself, as good as that running back group is in Washington. So Cliff just kind of plays to his quarterback strengths, and that is seemingly going to be a very wonderful relationship, as we've seen at least through the first three.
I know you and Russ, I'm talking about Russell Wilson, share the Wisconsin connection. What's your opinion on what's going on there with the Steelers? Now, they're winning, so I don't think anybody can say anything, but isn't it interesting that Tomlin still hasn't committed to what the future holds as far as where he's going with this quarterback situation? Right now it is Justin Fields.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, this today, if not yesterday, Coach Tomlin saying he's not going to commit to Justin Fields all season yet. Like, he won't name him the starter for the whole season until Russell Wilson does get healthy. So I think it's a testament to maybe what Russell can still bring to a team. You mentioned it, Wisconsin. I remember him vividly. I mean, I felt so confident with him as my quarterback. And you think back to his days to Seattle and his early success there. So we know he has it. It's just a question of, can he find the right system to be able to bring that back out in him? I don't know if it's the Steelers. You know, we've seen around the league, if you just look in years past, of really great quarterbacks being good at one place and then going to another team and still being successful. But you know what they say, every pancake has two sides, or coin, that, you know, maybe he does go to a different team and it doesn't work out, which, getting to know Russ a little bit just throughout the years, he's a wonderful person, so I'd love to see him succeed, but I think it's just a matter of finding what's right to make it work.
Sheree, with the Dolphins having to deal with Tua Tagovailoa out for at least a few more weeks, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, would you just throw this out there? We don't see a lot of trades at the trade deadline, but Bryce Young to Miami, or what about Russell Wilson to Miami on a loan? Because, as you said, this is just a one-year deal in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, that hasn't even really crossed my mind. That would certainly be interesting. I think Russell to Miami could work. I just wonder if he wants something more stable. He is on that one-year deal, but he just moved on from Denver.
Right.
You know, that's just a lot of jumping around, but maybe Bryce Young too. You know, that could be a good young, fresh start. I mean, look at Justin Fields. I was talking about him earlier today. Like, we think about sort of the dire of, like, needing to win and seeing him struggle in Chicago, and now in Pittsburgh, they're 3-0, and it seems to be working. So maybe just a fresh start could be good for Bryce Young there too.
Sheree Burris joining us, NFL Network, Good Morning Football host and reporter. It is Dukes and Bells. We go around the National Football League. A couple of things, like just quickly, like, what has surprised you as you have been reporting and covering teams here as the season gets underway? We're figuring things out. But to me, and going back to last night, it's the Bengals being 0-3.
Like, I don't know if anybody saw that with a healthy Joe Burrow to start the season. I also think the Jags being 0-3 with, you know, Trevor Lawrence getting his bag this offseason, Sheree. I mean, there are a few storylines where I'm going, I don't know if anybody expected that.
No, for sure. And I guess that's kind of what, I mean, I guess it depends on what fan base you are. What makes the league fun and makes the season so much fun is trying to figure out, you know, who is the next quote-unquote Texans or what's that up-and-coming team. But definitely Cincinnati is a head-scratcher for me. You think that this is one of the first off-seasons Joe Burrow was quote-unquote healthy, right, coming off that wrist injury last year. But the defense just has some things they need to figure out. Clearly there's just a few things not working on offense. We've seen them start slow before, so I'm not totally worried, but I'm not sure I'd be willing to pencil the Bengals in my playoff bracket as of today. But crazier things have happened. And then I guess sort of on the flip side, you know, looking at Seattle 3-0 with a new head coach, that was definitely not on my bingo card. And probably neither was Minnesota being 3-0. But, you know, it's only week three. So there's still a lot of ball to be played. And I think, you know, sort of talked about with Atlanta, there's a lot of chemistry building that needs to happen, gelling that needs to come together. I probably put the Ravens also in that category of a team. I'm like, who are you? Like, who? What is this team? Like, I had, you know, the expectations of so much carryover from last season, and that hasn't necessarily translated up until this point. So there's just a few teams where I'm still trying to figure out exactly who they are as we kind of get to this quarter point of the season.
Right. The Bengals were really decimated on defensive line with injuries last night. And Sheree Burris is with us, guys, from NFL Network. To your point, the 49ers. I don't think we all look at the 49ers and say they'll be there, but they're sending McCaffrey to Switzerland for his Achilles. That doesn't sound very good,
platelets?
Does it?
Platelets?
What they did with Peyton Manning.
Germany,
they
had like a, I think. Yeah, I'm not Germany. Sure what they're doing, but he had to go to Europe, which is clearly not not great news. It's, you know, we had Manti Te'o on the show a couple weeks ago, and I think maybe it was week one, but it was talking about just the emotional, like, capacity to get to so many Super Bowls and lose. Like, having to play 21 games in so many seasons, that's emotionally and physically draining on that 49ers team. And you don't necessarily, it's the same thing for the Chiefs too, if you think about it. I've never really thought about it like that. And I really appreciated Manti's perspective of, like, imagine getting to the Super Bowl as many times they have with Kyle Shanahan, and then you just fall short.
Mm.
You know, eventually I think that kind of wears on you, and it might even kind of be mental sometimes. So the fact that, and just as a football fan in general, it really stinks that we don't get to watch, you know, a Christian McCaffrey or a Debo Samuel, George Kittle. Like, we want to see these big names and these great players playing ball. So the fact that the 49ers are dealing with so many injuries right now is really a bummer. But, you know, maybe this is a chance for someone we didn't expect to really take a run or take control of the NFC.
You continue to do a great job. We appreciate you stopping by the show. NFL Network, Good Morning Football host, reporter. Follow her. Check her out, Sheree Burris. She was here in the ATL for a while. And congratulations again on all the success. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Mike, that is interesting. And, you know, look, I hope we're not talking about, one, the tail end now of a career for Christian McCaffrey with an injury that maybe he can't overcome.
Right.
The only reason you go to Europe, guys, is you're searching for answers.
Remember,
that's it.
We used to joke around about Peyton. He was able to be mobile enough to play in two more Super Bowls, win one for the Broncos, but that whole neck thing where they had to, Peyton was growing out of his neck like a sci-fi movie. Yeah, you don't want to see a guy's career cut short. McCaffrey, especially if you're the 49ers, still on the hook for a lot of loot.
This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're coming back. Headlines on the way. Braves have to get it done against the Mets. That's it. It is Dukes and Bell, our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. What's up, D. Led? I said, what's up, D. Led?
Hey, Kyle, sounds like you and Mike really lit one up.
Yeah, thank you. We did. We had a good time. We had a good time at lunch. D says he went through all 27 of the Falcons' third down situations. They are 6-for-27 on the season on third downs. Terrible, okay? I think it's 22%. He says, I have several questions for OC Zach Robinson and quarterback Kirk Cousins for tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. We'll talk to Coach Ra, and we'll get you some of Zach's answers because we'll have Joe Smoking Joe Patrick there along with Dean and everybody else asking questions. Just, you know, and I had guys hit me up during the text on our conversation with Sheree Burress from NFL Network. Guys, I'm not taking shots. Some of you guys, what do you care? What do you know Zach Robinson from a hole in the wall? I just said, is he learning on the job? You think this guy's just going to plug in and be Kyle Shanahan? He's got some stuff he wants back. I'm not sure he has everything in the tool belt because I think Kurt still has some limitations at times. And, of course, once you get dealt a hand, like two of your starting offensive linemen going out against that front.
Yeah.
You know? Now, Kirk, it's not Zach Robinson's fault if Kirk thinks he sees something they can get and changes the play in the huddle, which is what happened on that final play with Bijan.
I agree.
I'm just saying, I think we're all learning what. Remember you and I argued, not argue, we discussed this before the season. Maybe Pitts doesn't have the same role you think he's going to have in this offense, which I think is stupid, but maybe he doesn't.
Well, we got to get to this, and we will coming up, because Ryan Clark was talking about what he felt like the Falcons needed to do, and it's what I've been saying all offseason. It's still not enough. He's not involved enough. And we're going to let you hear the soundbite coming up. But, Mike, here's where I'm at with Zach. Yes, you're right. First-time coordinator, he is learning on the job. This is you don't get to simulate this. Again, this isn't right. Madden, okay? You can't make real-time in-game mistakes with play calling. It hurts you, or you don't get first downs or move the chains or score points, and that doesn't become a part of your evaluation. This isn't Madden where you can turn the game off,
right?
Okay? And you want to start over. So, yes, he is learning on the job, but I've said all along, part of the makeup, I think the main part, 80% of what we want to do is run game. Mm-hmm. And if that is working, all this other stuff opens up. What were we not able to do the other night? Run the ball.
They completely took our run game away, save for the one Bijan touchdown.
Okay.
In the red zone.
So then now I'm changing and evolving. I've got things I want to try to do, but that 80% of what we are, and most teams are, guys, I know everybody talks about a passing league, right. All of that stuff opens up with the stuff that you fundamentally do well. And I think that is what I've been saying is I know that is what he wants to do. The other stuff, you're right, we're learning, we're seeing, and we're evaluating as we go along. But it doesn't mean that he's going to suck, and it doesn't mean he's going to be the next best thing when it comes to play call. We just got to figure it out. But I do think he has a really good sense and a feel. The Eagles game told me that. The first drive is one thing. When you get into the meat of a game and they're adjusting and doing things and you are doing your plays are adjusting as well, Mike, and you're kind of, you know, it's counteract
right.
What they're trying. He did a lot of that in the Eagles game. And I think he's got a good feel. Whether we're not executing or not on third down, that's a whole nother conversation.
Right. Now, we feel we've got a pretty good depth on offensive line, but if it is going to be Storm Norton, now McGarry does seem like, they said day-to-day was the breakdown yesterday. Tomorrow's kind of the first chance we'll get to really look at a injury report, which may tell some more of the story. Neusel will probably be in there because it does sound like the Dalvin injury is going to take longer for him to heal up. So, you know, and then you said the Saints get their own injuries. We'll talk more about that coming up. But it's just, I'm not freaked out yet. You know, I've always, you know, we said this the other day. I said 2-2. I thought 2-2 because, you know, we didn't know who was going to and how we were going to get it done. Certainly, I think we played the Chiefs pretty well. We're going to play the soundbite, as you mentioned. Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark were going round and round about what the Falcons are, what they aren't, what they should be doing. But it's still a long season. I'm still going to roll with 10-7. I still think this is a 10-win team. Now, the big question becomes, does 10 wins win the division?
Mm.
Right? Because the Bucs, look, Baker had a bad day in the office. He got smoked. What do you say, 7 times he got sacked yesterday in Denver?
Yep.
So they came back to earth, as did the Saints after looking so dynamic. But you think, is 10 wins enough to win this division, you think?
It's a good question. And the good news is, all of that, right now, this division stuff is in front of us. It's Saints week. It's big. It always is. And it just means more to quote the SEC. It's Dukes and Bell. Big O's behind the glass. He's our engineer, on-site producer today as well. Our executive producer, should I say. Chris has got the night show, so make sure you stay tuned for that when we get done tonight. We got to get to some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Well, if you don't believe me about our destiny being in our own hands, take it from our head coach. It is, and that starts Sunday. Meanwhile, Jesse Bates was just talking about having the mentality to carry the team to a victory. Like, Mike, we talk about this. Like, teams have to learn how to win these close games. We won one in Philadelphia, which a lot of people didn't think we could. And then we lost one here at home, which we had an opportunity to win. But you have to figure out how to win those games. The one thing we can say about the Chiefs, regardless of personnel, coaches, they know how to win those games.
Right.
Now, if you didn't see ESPN, and it's something you and I spoke a little bit about off the air, you know, Goddard was a one-man gang because they had to use him. Once Devontae Smith gets cheap-shotted, he gets knocked out of the game with a concussion. A.J. Brown's already out. And, you know, shame on the Saints. If the Saints have issues guarding a tight end, well, that is something we should exploit, that because that's what Pitts was drafted for. So, again, we can degree or we can argue how much every week, to what degree Pitts should be part of the game plan. I think we got to get everybody involved. That's what we talk about, using all the tools in the box. But the way that Shanahan was when he was here in his prime, always finding the right guy to dial up. You know, whether it was Free or whether it was Coleman or it was Julio, Sanu, the whole shebang. So I just think, look, at some point we're just going to say Pitts is not being used the right way. I don't think we're there yet. We already got a touchdown.
Yeah.
Help move the chains to get you the win over the Eagles, but I still need more Pitts. And Pitts should have had a touchdown, if not a ball at the one-yard line on Sunday against the Chiefs.
Let me hear Jesse talk about the mentality it takes to carry over to get a victory like that. And I think they do. Now, does it happen? No. But I love what we're getting from the defense. I love what we're getting from these safeties. You know, I saw the replay again today, and I took it for granted the other night when it happened in real time, because we were just going crazy, because Bates does Bates things.
Right.
But that strip of the ball on Travis Kelce on that third down was a huge play. I mean, it was one of those plays, again, when you go back and look at the time in the game and the down and distance, and we get the ball back and we have another chance, that's usually a Kelce first down. And he hits that ball, gets his hand in there and strips it. I mean, that special safety play, man. I mean, that's stuff that guys don't think about, Mike. Most guys are like, okay, he has the ball, I just got to get him to the ground. Bates is like, oh, you got the ball, I'm stripping it, and you're getting off the field.
Right, and that's because that's the kind of playmaker he is. And you throw in, and Simmons certainly, as we know, is one of the more elite corners in the league. We got the best tandem. That's what you expect. The problem with our game, look, the reason we lost to the Chiefs is, you said it to start the segment, they took away the run.
Yeah.
We had awful down and distance. I mean, we're out of sequence, you know, behind schedule. And we went three and out too many. We went three and out twice. We had one play, one series lasted five. We also had two plays, and then Kirk Cousins throws a bad pick. So all the things that we want to see, more Pitts, more balance between Algier and Bijan. Although I thought he had it right last week. I thought it was pretty good against the Eagles. Didn't you, Algier and Bijan?
Yeah, I did.
But when you don't, when you lose all those touches, when you lose almost 10 to 15 minutes of time of possession, it takes away all the things we should be talking about on a Monday.
Two Monday night games last night. One was a blowout. Buffalo wins 47-10. They look really good.
What are they going to do with Sunshine? Trevor Lawrence.
And Washington beat Cincinnati, which was a much better game. But the Buffalo game, Mike, I mean, Josh Allen threw four touchdowns. He made it look easy. And Jacksonville offensively struggled. Let's hear Allen throw one to Keon Coleman. We've been talking about this. They picked him in the first round. Diggs goes away, right? And everybody said, what are they going to do? This is what they're doing.
Now, Coleman was late for a team meeting, and so they said, okay, mister, you're going to not play the first couple series. So he doesn't get into the third series offensively for a Buffalo. Teaching lesson from Coach Sean McDermott. And then he gets going and says, yeah, loves his teammates and was sorry about it. And now he's off and running.
Yeah, he's going to be a big part of this thing, man. I'm just telling you.
A tremendous knack for finding them and making the big play at FSU. Sometimes dropping the easy catch, making the more difficult one at times.
That was a great catch that last night on that touchdown. That made it 20-3. That was in the second quarter. Let me say this, though. Josh Allen is doing everything. And when we talk about quarterbacks carrying teams and just elevating them, watch the Buffalo Bills. Like, he's just making it look easy right now. He is the top, if not one of the top MVP candidates, Mike, 3 weeks into the season. They are 3-0. And then you had Jayden Daniels. And this play I retweeted this morning because I wanted people to see there's something about a rookie quarterback knowing he's about to get blasted, staying in the pocket, and then dropping a dime. And this is exactly what this was.
Yeah, man, and it was a foot and a thigh equals 2 feet, and he got it in. He laid that knee down. It was unbelievable. And you said it, Jayden Daniels, we mentioned this talking to Sheree Burress from NFL Network. He got clobbered on that throw. He stood in the pocket and took that big hit.
It was crazy. Now, you asked about Trevor Lawrence. Mike, he was asked after the game, what's going on? Lost to the Dolphins, Browns, and now the Bills.
Blew a lead to the Dolphins, too. That one's probably the one that they probably should have won more than anything. This one, they just got their asses kicked.
Correct. But the offense is not humming at all. And when you get the big bag, and Trevor did, Everybody's going, what's going on with Trevor? Like, he's not playing up to – and I'm telling you, if you watch Josh and you watch Trevor, it looked like two different worlds, man. It looked like Josh is coming into this game and he completely understands what is expected, what he's supposed to do, where the ball's supposed to go. You watch Trevor, Mike, and it's almost like, ah, where am I supposed to throw it? Right. What are you doing, bro?
Now, Trevor Lawrence is a dude. At least he said the eye. I've got to play better. None of this we stuff. You know, like, you know, the old joke, you know, we killed the bear, Pa held the gun. You know, no, it's yes, you have to be better. You're the first overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. You're supposed to be the rock star. And you've gone backwards, you know, and there's no other way to describe it. Now, do you feel they've got enough playmakers on that roster? You know, because, you know, they do have ETN. They weren't able to run for 100 yards in this game total. They lose Calvin Ridley in free agency to Tennessee.
Right.
So it's Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, the former Bill, Brian. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to make excuses, but it ain't exactly like the murderer's row of wide receivers.
I know. But listen, weren't we saying what are the Bills going to do without Diggs in the offseason?
Right.
The offense looks more dynamic, guys.
Well, you know what they're also doing? And this is what's his name? The former LSU offensive coordinator, Brady, right? Who's over there. They're using James Cook.
Yes, they are.
James Cook is kind of doing the Christian McCaffrey, what we want to do with Bijan with James Cook. So, again, if you're watching him, he's got one touchdown receiving. He's got three touchdowns on the ground. So that's four touchdowns for Cook through the first three games.
It's been interesting, man. Buffalo, are they going to be the team that contend and maybe challenge, you know, Kansas City? They've been right there every year. Remember, they had a chance last year at home and did not get it done. Hey, headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL. Live well. Don't just live. Live well. Braves start a huge series tonight with the Mets. We've been talking about it all afternoon, and we will continue. The season comes down to this week. It's just that simple. We'll continue to talk about that. When we come back, though, they had a conversation that many of you are having about our football team. We'll let you hear it, and we'll talk about it as part of our NFL Blitz on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com.